This is KHOI's Heart of Iowa, a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, public speakers, and individuals of note in central Iowa.
I'm James Rivera. I'm here today with our guest, our very own Ryan Sheeler. His accomplishments are that he has a master's degree in music from Iowa State University. He has four CDs. He is in a band called the Box Brothers Band, and he does solo gigs as well. He is a regular on Morning Masterpieces, and he has just created, written, and produced a new album called Skies and Shadows. We are here to discuss that today. So, Ryan, can you tell me what inspired Skies and Shadows?
Well, Skies and Shadows kind of came together. It probably took about 8 or 10 months to get going. And usually when I take a lot of time between albums, it has been a good 2+ years since Polk County Line. And as a songwriter, as a composer, I guess I'm more of a storyteller. So I write kind of narrative story songs, I guess you could say. And it takes a while for those to kind of build up in the docket, so to speak. So I usually take my time between projects. Once I kind of started getting a couple really good song ideas together, I realized that it's probably time to do a new album. So that's the long and short of it there.
Yeah, I would like to say to you, Ryan, that when you sent me this CD to listen to, I played it. I played it over and over again for several weeks, and I would love to say that I really enjoyed all the tracks. Really have true meaning in life and a true reality of people's experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you about Skies and Shadows. When I first heard it, I'm like, wow, this is a really dynamic song for a title track. I got to analyzing it and realized that it seemed to be about thunderstorms and how it relates to love and life and social issues. Could you tell me about that?
Mm-hmm. Skies and Shadows is real similar, at least in narrative content, to an earlier song that I had called Chasing Heaven off of my second solo album, Letters from North of Town, which is about 2008. Skies and Shadows as a song is real similar to that in kind of narrative meaning in terms of kind of taking a look both at sort of how I live life and sort of what I see around me in terms of being a musician and dealing with all the demands that are around you, both as a Christian musician as I am and just functioning in the secular world also, in terms of the things that I see going around me and how to deal with fame and the creative process and life experiences and those kind of things.
Yeah, I would like to say, you know, from what I've listened to, Skies and Shadows is a probably to me would be like your probably one of your best albums as of yet.
Yeah, I think it's really solid. I produced it myself, but I had a hand, several friends really helped me out with it, and I spent a lot of time working on it. I've upgraded some components to my home studio, and I had a really quality mastering job done, so I'm really happy with the album all the way around.
Does anyone even care? They've been doing
say very good job, Ryan. I was very, very impressed. Can you tell me about number two song on here, Gold Wedding Band? It sounds like it's a kind of a song where you meet in a woman and discover she's married.
Yeah, a little bit of a departure from some of the content that I usually talk about. That song was a co-write with a friend of mine named Nathan Baker, who Nathan and I met on the songwritersforum.com, and we've collaborated on this song. That song is probably about 4 years old or so, and it is kind of a departure from some of the content that I usually talk about, and I realize that, but I really like the fact that Nathan wrote the lyrics and I wrote the music, and he wrote this narrative about, you know, meeting a woman in a bar and the temptations that you go through in terms of that, and ultimately making the right decision, which is not to sort of pursue it any further. And I took his story and set it to kind of a modern, I guess you'd say, country groove, kind of like Roy Orbison kind of a thing, and with the harmonies and some of the guitar work and things like that. And Scott Draper from the Box Brothers played some really excellent kind of country rock piano on that song, so it turned out really good.
Say it was a very good song. Moon Over Texas. Before we play Moon Over Texas, I would like to know more, because I really didn't grasp the idea of what was going on there. So
sure.
Tell me about Moon Over Texas.
Sure. It's a little bit of an abstract song. It was actually kind of a commission, you might say. I do some freelance songwriting work on the side every once in a while as the opportunities sort of present themselves. And a guy named Brian Cream from Texas contacted me because he liked my work on the Light and the Rain album, which is two albums back for me. And he was in the Army National Guard, and he sort of told me his story about how he met his wife, and he was in a long series of sort of failed relationships and really praying to God about trying to match him, find him the right person. And this is basically about how he met his wife as they were serving in the Army National Guard in Texas. So it's basically kind of an autobiographical story, you might say. And musically, the setting is very much in the vein of like the sort of California country, like the Eagles. The Eagles are one of my favorite bands, and their influence kind of pops up a lot in my work, you might say. And this is a good example of it.
So here's Moon Over Texas.
Caught a plane to the next job, watching the night go by. Lost my heart waiting for someone special to arrive. Just holding on to this dying dream, knew what's best for me. Just chasing my own paradise, knowing where it'd be. Black skies line my past as I watched the moon over Texas shine. Where would it be, just flying through another lonely night? The look in your eyes shook me out of my wildest dreams. I prayed each night, asking God to fill my needs. True happiness was answered when I got on my knees. Black skies lined my past as I watched the moon over Texas shine.
Class Reunion says it's in November. Mm-hmm. It sounds like a kind of a song about, to me, I'm not sure what it is, but or how what you meant, but it seems like that maybe you experienced a death of a funeral of a classmate.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me about Class Reunion?
That is a true story, and I lived in the Chicago suburbs for 4 years in the end of the 80s and early part of the 90s, but I ended up moving back to Ames in about May of 1991. And later, this particular event happened in it was a domestic issue with one of my friends and one of his girlfriends, and I don't want to talk about much of the story because I want to sort of protect them and things, but This story happened in November of 1991, ironically the same weekend as the University of Iowa shootings that happened, if you remember, where the graduate student in astronomy or physics shot his classmates. This happened in the same weekend, and I didn't find out about it until way later. I went back last August for class of 92 reunion at Mundelein High School, which was the class of all of my friends that I would have graduated with had I stayed. So I found out about this particular incident and kind of wrote a song about it. It was is a really kind of a touching thing. So, true story.
All right, we're going to listen to Class Reunion, November. Across the Room. That was a number five track. It appears to be about what we should have done 20 years ago when we were in high school, you know, we noticed an individual and we became a lifelong friend of theirs. It seems to be like kind of like a man meets a woman he knew 20 years before.
Yep.
He went to school with her, and how he should have walked across a room, or she would have.
That's a good one.
Many times do I wish that you could have walked across the room.
Sure. So, that's another true story. It was about a girl that I had a crush on coming right out of high school into college, and we worked at McDonald's together back in our undergrad days. This was a very long time ago. This was probably 1993 or 4, thereabouts. And I was really consumed by my schoolwork and stuff, and I wanted to ask her out. And I never really sort of got the chance to, and I was too scared and ashamed. And we kind of lost track of each other over the years, and we connected about a year ago or so, thanks to the miracle of social media, Facebook and stuff, and we talked about these things. And that's what it's more or less about. And what I did is I sort of I put that whole story underneath the umbrella of, how a lot of us are afraid to meet new people in terms of, you know, all it takes is just walking across the room and meeting new people, and you never know what's going to happen. So I kind of made that all into sort of one overall idea. And it has a very much of a soul kind of a groove, kind of like an old Motown song, which is a lot of my influences too that I don't get to show very often. But that's a good song. It's a catchy song.
Okay. Walk Across the Room. Track number 6, Late Spring Rains, Alachua County.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that, wow, that is incredible, Ryan. Can you tell me about Late Spring Rains?
Sure. That's probably the best song that I've ever written, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm really proud of it anyway. It's a big high water mark. It was influenced originally by the work of Dan Fogelberg. On his albums, he would have one of his album cuts, some of his non-singles, be sort of these sprawling narratives that would be sort of like you were reading a newspaper article set to music, you know, in a sort of a movie type of setting, a cinematic type setting. And the narrative came for that. I've always had an idea about doing a large, long-form song like that. That's 10 minutes long, that song. And I just happened to be reading the news one day, and I came across this story. It's a true story called Angels and Demons by Thomas French, who's a journalism professor at Indiana University. He wrote this piece for the St. Petersburg Times, and it won the Pulitzer Prize in the early 90s or so. It's a true story about a farm family, a mother and her daughters that took a vacation to Florida, and they ended up getting sort of accosted by this guy who ended up killing them. And the story was all over the national news in the early 90s. It was on like Unsolved Mysteries and other things. And I sort of changed some details about the narrative and changed some of the locations and the time frames and stuff because I sort of wanted to protect the integrity of that story in the original sense that it talked about. And I added some things on there. I'm really proud of the guitar work and the arranging on that song. And I overdubbed a couple pieces of sort of generic police noise for movies and things like that. That would be kind of a nice touch to sort of bring the context of the song together. I'm pretty happy with that song.
An incredible song. Here we are, late spring rains, Alachua County.
Ground. While
While he waited, Daddy milked the cows and started building. Thinking to himself, you see them all again someday. Just a week or two ago, his wife and daughters left to go away, down south and have some fun. So family car took off. Well, sir, they never knew. Never see their Harborview son. 62 was their dinner stop. Met a stranger along the way. Next thing they were on his boat for a spin out on the bay.
Now, when I first heard this, I think of a time way back when you know everything was innocent. You were at Grandpa's house, and mm-hmm. now Grandpa's in a VA hospital or a nursing home, mm-hmm. and we're going to see him, and then we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like a warm-hearted song about veterans from yesteryear who fought our. World War II and Korean War and such. And I really enjoyed Filled in Footsteps. It gave me a warm feeling. So can you elaborate on Filled in Footsteps?
Yeah. Filled in Footsteps is written sort of as a tribute to my grandpa, my grandpa John Sheeler, who was emeritus professor of engineering at Iowa State for many years. And he was a World War II vet in the Pacific. I come from a long line of military families on my father's side and my mother's side as well. So I have that sort of military patriotic tradition in my blood, I guess you could say. And my grandpa John Sheeler was a World War II Pacific vet. He was decorated 2 Purple Hearts and 2 Presidential Unit Citations for his – he was in the Marines in the Pacific during Guadalcanal and Tarawa and some of those other big battles. And he just passed away in February of this last year. And it's really difficult to kind of, you know, see and visit your extended family when the only time that you see each other is at funerals anymore. And my grandpa was kind of a really big linchpin in our family. He sort of held us together and sort of provided a moral compass for us all and a lot of leadership over the years. And so it was tough to see him go, but he suffered. He had cancer for a better part of 2 years. So it was time for God to call him home. So that was sort of, us coming together as a family and sort of remembering his sacrifice and his leadership and those kind of things. So that's what that song is about.
Here it is, Fills and Footsteps.
We drove away from the church, the streets north of town, past the veterans' hospital, to that field of brown. As we listened to them play the taps, and echoed in the sky, tears rolled down our faces, and we said our goodbyes. Those who went silent badges of tears that hide their scars. Sometimes they won't hold their hand but give away their hearts. Men who never talk about what it means to fight and die, yet are willing to do just that for you and I. The honest love and toughness in my grandpa's eyes made me think we take for granted the meaning of a sacrifice. Freedom isn't free, I know, from steps in far off fields. Now I'm learning just what it is a story like that reveals. Those who wear silent badges of tears that hide their scars. Sometimes they won't hold your hand, give away their hearts. Men who never talk about what it means to fight and die, yet are willing to do just that for you and I. On behalf of a grateful nation, left so much more unsaid. Thank you for your service and the way that you led. We remember all your prayers and all of your stories too. But I would give all that away for another day with you. Those who wear silent badges of tears that hide their scars. Sometimes they won't hold your hand, but they give away their hearts. Men who never talk about what it means to fight and die, yet are willing to do just that for you and I. Who never talk about what it means to fight and die, yet are willing to do just that for you and I.
All right. right, Stealing Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing Paradise. I loved Stealing Paradise. It to me, it was like a fantastic type of worship style song about Jesus Christ dying for man's sin,
mm-hmm.
and the anguish that he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
I just really was enthralled with that song, and I would just like you to explain how you got that song.
Yeah,
Stealing
sure.
in Paradise.
Yep, Stealing Paradise is not my song. It's I borrowed it from a good friend of mine. I serve on the music team at First Evangelical Free Church up on the north side of Ames here, and that was written by a good friend of mine up there, Todd Teske, and he brought this song to the table maybe a year ago or so. It's a great song because it's sort of about Jesus' death from the point of view of the thief on the cross. The story goes, he had two thieves crucified on either side of him, and one of them rebuked him and, you know, said, if you're the Son of Man or the Son of God, you know, come down off of that cross and save yourself. The other thief, who this song is written from the narrative, you know, realized that Jesus was the only one up there among those without sin. And so he asked him, you know, please remember me when you enter into paradise. And this Stealing Paradise is sort of about that whole scene from the point of view of that thief. So it's a really kind of touching song. I've got a lot of good feedback about this one.
Agonizing cries. my Savior does.
Now, we're on our number 9 track, Be Forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I listened to Be Forgiven, I was blown away.
Thanks.
And, you know, I asked you if you wrote that song, and you said yes. And I was like, wow, Brian, that's every bit as comparable as Stealing Paradise. You got to be proud of that. But it's a song about repentance and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Tell our audience more about Be Forgiven.
Well, it's a song that's written from the point of view, trying to live my life in terms of having grace and extending forgiveness to other people. And I sort of consider myself a Christian artist, but not in the sense of a lot of people consider themselves a Christian artist, because there's a lot of songs on my albums that don't necessarily deal with like biblical sorts of issues. But I think getting the spiritual issues and things out of life, I think, is every bit as spiritual as anything in the Bible. I think that God put us on here with a life to live and to live amongst other people who either believe in God or don't. You know, there's many of them out there, and we come across lots of different people from different walks of life throughout the course of our day, and God puts us in the paths of lots of different people just as soon as we walk out the door every morning. And this song was actually, I walked into the bookstore and this was the title of a book. I don't even remember who the author was, but I saw it there and I'm like, that would be a great song title. So I grabbed my notebook and started sketching some ideas. And I started thinking about, I think a lot of people get the Christian faith wrong in terms of, you know, that it's a bunch of rules and a bunch of judgmental people in terms of, you know, looking down on others because they're, you know, less spiritual or less Christian, so to speak, than other people. When it's really about forgiveness and grace and how you live your life in that. And the first line, I think, you know, maybe we don't know how far we'd fallen and a lot of us don't even really care, I think sums up a lot of things. And I think in terms of living that out, you know, I mean, my prayer is for God to make that sort of a truth that's alive and well in my heart that extends out to the people that I meet first and foremost. So, yeah, great song, great hook on the chorus, and one of my favorite guitar solos there on that album too. So that's that song.
Here it is.
Fallen. A lot of us don't even care. Maybe that's the problem. Not realizing we're there. You see it all the time on the streets and in the news. Lives trade down for grace refused. But I don't want to live that way, divided heart or not. I want the hope and sharing what you've got. And be forgiven, our heart be truly free. Take away the blindness so that we can really see. Thousands turn to you from sea to shining sea. You be forgiven. Make it true inside of me. We're a mask to hide ourselves. More fragile than we let on. Stress piles up so far. My faith is gone. I owe
So if our audience is interested in future or prior albums, you have a website, right? What is the name of that website where your videos are on?
I'm on www.ryanscheeler.com, and I have a YouTube channel too, youtube.com/ryanscheelermusic, all one word. So I'm pretty easy to find. Heck, if you just Googled me, you'll, you know, a click or two away, and you'll find my music. So,
yeah, well, thank you, Ryan. That about wraps it up for Heart of Iowa. I am your host, James Rivera, also known as James from Ames, and I'm happy to interview Ryan Scheeler, our very own Ryan Scheeler. So, Ryan, thank you.
Yep, thanks for having me.
This is KHOI's Heart of Iowa, a program featuring a patchwork quilt of artists, public speakers, and individuals of note in Central Iowa.